As you float down the Colorado River from Glen Canyon Dam to Lake Mead, you may not realize that River Right, the north side of the river, is owned and managed by the National Park Service, and River Left is managed by several groups, including the Hualapai and Havasupai Indian Nations. Hualapai and surrounding tribes have inhabited the Grand Canyon region since 700 AD. They survived harsh desert conditions using their knowledge of plants and wildlife behavior. For example, using their understanding of the seasonal movements of antelope, elk, and deer to procure food. Today, Hualapai continue to practice sacred ceremonies and collect cultural resources within the canyon. But dams and other development have altered the riparian plant community, which now includes many invasive species. Kavoka Jackson, a member of the Hualapai tribe and graduate student at the University of Las Vegas, is currently researching methods to remove invasive plants while reestablishing native plants that are also culturally important.
To me, the Colorado River is really sacred, and it's held really close in my heart because on my reservation, we grew up along the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon. And so being able to work in the Glen Canyon National Recreation Area is a really important aspect to me because I am closer to home and our ancestral lands did extend as far as Glen Canyon. So we have ties to that area.
Tribes and federal agencies have collaborated for decades to manage natural and cultural resources within the canyon. But cultural and institutional barriers can be much harder to cross than borders drawn on a map.
I think there's a big gap between the traditional knowledge, the traditional ecological knowledge that tribes hold versus the Western science, and they don't communicate. And there's a gap in that communication, but I think they could hugely benefit each other. The tribes, you know, have been living here for a very, very long time, and so they have a lot of knowledge of the environment, the ecosystems. It's often not brought into the science world, and there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of people who hold this traditional knowledge don't necessarily want to give it to Western scientists, you know. It's kind of like they don't want to feel exploited. It can be sold as a product or used in the wrong context.
Kavoka is describing one of the paradoxes Native Americans face when trying to preserve cultural resources. Former Hualapai Cultural Resources Director Loretta Jackson Kelly explains the dilemma tribes face when trying to preserve ecosystems and landscapes while also protecting their sacred significance.
In establishing traditional cultural properties, you want to make certain that it's written that, you know, that someone can come back and reference what it means for the tribe. But at the same time, when you release confidential information that is esoteric knowledge of tribes that are held sacred, then you cannot release that type of information. A lot of the tribes have this conflict in management, because how can you manage, you know, a resource and justify it when you can't release the significance of that resource.
Loretta worked with the Glen Canyon Adaptive Management Program, an organization and process designed for the cooperative integration of dam operations, recreation, and resource conservation. Tribes throughout the region, the Bureau of Reclamation, and other stakeholders have worked since 1991 to implement strategies that will preserve both cultural and ecological resources.
When we work with the scientists, you know, Western science is based on, you know, what you learn in academic. Whereas from a Native American perspective, you know, we didn't have universities and we didn't go to college. This was all handed down through experience from generation to generation through oral history, oral stories. We've already gone through all the experiments, regardless of whether we have degrees or not, because we're a land-based people. We study the land.
Since Glen Canyon's construction, an annual monitoring trip is conducted by each tribe in the region to assess archaeological and botanical resources. These river trips serve to inform scientists and river managers, but they are also an opportunity for the Hualapai to continue the tradition of passing ecological knowledge from one generation to the next. Ethnobotanist for the tribe, Carrie Cannon, describes the significance of these trips.
to me, the goal of the trip oftentimes is more about the sharing of traditional ecological knowledge so that the knowledge that tribal members possess about the landscape doesn't disappear or fade away or die out. And so there's been all these things that have happened in our history where essentially Native Americans have been forced to assimilate and join the mainstream. Tribal people have their language and their ideologies and their own unique way of looking at the world, and even their taxonomic systems are different than, you know, the Linnaean Western science system and the names that they have for plants. They tell a story. And so even embedded in the language is ecological knowledge.
I spoke with ecologist and member of the Adaptive Management Group, Larry Stevens, about how he views the differences in perspective of Western scientists and those of indigenous people.
A big schism has actually appeared. In the West, we tend to think of managing for the pristine condition. Indigenous tribes and Asian and pretty much the Asian cultures, as far as I can tell, feel that man has a role in managing nature. Our purpose here is to improve nature. Very different than the Western perspective.
Larry and the Spring Stewardship Institute have worked with communities across the globe, including tribes of the Southwest, to assess the integrity of spring ecosystems, which are universally recognized as an important socioeconomic resource. Through the development of standard protocols and a password-protected database, they have created a tool which allows the Hualapai to assess water resources without having to share the exact locations of the springs.
Or if they're concerned with some issue of groundwater quality or declining aquifers or species of concern with neighbors, they can talk in the same language about it. That's the beauty of this database, is that it allows neighbors to talk about springs with a common framework.
Collaborations between the federal government, state agencies, ecologists, and tribes had a rough start, but through many heated arguments and discussions, tribal knowledge has been included in the management of Grand Canyon resources. For example, all parties influenced groundbreaking research to use experimental high-flow releases from Glen Canyon to help manage riparian habitat along the Colorado. As tribes and managers face a future of increased temperatures and increased water demand, collaborative approaches to resource conservation will be the norm. With Utah Public Radio, I'm Julie Kelso.